I got a phone call from my agency, who I worked with and got lots of work from, saying, would you like to work abroad? It's quite an interesting role. And I was like, okay, yeah, but the interview's tomorrow. You need to get here for the interview tomorrow. And I was like, okay, yeah, no problem at all. I'll come on up. The address I was given was in central London. I went into the building, up to the sixth floor, and there were guards on the sixth floor, so I thought it was quite odd. And it turned out to be a military media kind of intelligence unit. And they showed me around. We had a quick chat, and I must have been there for about 20 minutes, and that was it. And they said, right, great to see you, thanks very much. And I asked, okay, so when will I hear if I've got the job? And I said, oh, no, you've got it. And I said, where am I going, and when do I start? They said, well, your tickets will be emailed to you later today. You'll be going out on Monday morning. Okay, this is a Friday, I'm talking to these guys. And I said, so where am I going? Oh, you're going to Baghdad. I was expecting to be in the Green Zone. But no, we were on a base called Camp Victory, which surprised me. So when I first arrived at the building that I was going to be working at, it struck me that it was a very secure building. Signs outside saying, do not come in. If you're not it's a classified area. If you're not cleared, you can't come in. So when I first started working there, I didn't know how big a project this was. I just assumed it was news gathering. But having seen the process and worked in the process, I then realised this was a big project. And the budget was large as well for this project. It was around about $120 million a year for this project. And that's a lot of money. Whilst I was working there were three different types of strand, really. So we would do the news items that would go out on the news and go out on various channels locally. The kind of stories, a bomb would go off, a car bomb would go off, people would die. We would have people out there filming it. It would come back. We would then edit it into a story that would then go out on various channels within the region. And we were to make it, as best we could, look as if it was made locally. Which it is shot locally and it is edited locally. It was more to make it look like it was Arabic, to make it look like it was shot in the region, which it was, but to make it look like it was created by Arabic TV almost. So it was given the impression that this was done by an Arabic company, in my view. And then there were what they call TVCs, which are television commercials, say Al-Qaeda are bad. There would also be things called VCDs, which we would make. The way I was approached about VCDs was I was asked by my boss, we need to make this style of video and we've got to use Al-Qaeda's footage and all their propaganda out there to do it. We need it to be 10 minutes long and it needs to be in this file format and we need to encode it in this manner. And yeah, that's great. And we're going to track it via Google Analytics. All the VCDs that were made, and quite a considerable amount, were taken by Marines when they were going into various villages or they were doing raids, whatever patrols they were on, and they were dispersed that way. That was the quickest, easiest, and also, I guess, the most sensible way of doing it. Because if they're raiding a house and they're going to make a mess of it looking for stuff anyway, they just drop an odd VCD there. Then when whoever comes back, they're going to pick it up and they're going to start checking stuff through. So it kind of made sense to do it that way. And these were discs that were made to play in a thing called Real Player. And what happened to Real Player is you'd get a white screen before anything would happen. They came up with this ingenious idea that within the white flash that Real Player does, it actually tracks where the VCD is being played. Because Real Player has to connect online to run, that little bit of code would then be connected to a Google Analytics account. And so that way you could have a track and know where that VCD is being played. So when the VCD has been delivered, when they're watched and the tracking kicks, it makes a hit with analytics. And when you log into it, 24 hours later, it will tell you which IP address and where in the world it's been looked at. So, for instance, if one's looked at in the middle of Baghdad, okay, you know there's a hit there. if one 48 hours later or a week later shows up in another part of the world, then that's the more interesting one. And that's what they're looking for more. Because then that gives you a trail of, okay, so someone sent it to this person, or they've been here and they've gone elsewhere. So it gives you a track of somebody who could possibly be a threat. Some of the VCDs ended up in some interesting countries. I think I had a couple in Iran. Obviously, in Iraq, in several places. There was one in Syria, but the most interesting one was in America. No idea how it got there, but all my job was to do was to collate that data and pass it on. So I would do a printout for the day, and if anything interesting popped up, hand it over to the bosses, and then it would be dealt with from there. When we made something, the process would be, I would show it to my producer, they'd be happy with it. We would then get in seniors in the office, they'd be happy with it. Then we get the two colonels in to look at it, look at the things we've done throughout the day. They'd be fine with it. It would then go to General Petraeus. He would then look at it and his team would look at it. And if they're happy with it, it would then go on up the line if it needed to. If he couldn't sign off on it, it would go up on the line to the White House. And then it was signed off up there and the answer would come back down the line. I was in and out of Baghdad on this contract for over a year or so. I just couldn't do it any longer. When you've got over 500 tapes with more atrocities than you can believe could ever be committed to another human being on, there's only so much you can take. And also, you just think, flying in and out of a war zone all the time, you're elevating that risk of not being able to come back home.